Welcome back to Not 97. Amel Zeneb joins us this week. Amel is a rising singer-songwriter from Jamaica, Queens. We talked through Amel's earliest memories making music, what inspired her to follow this dream, collaborating with Nathan Behar on the latest body of work, Safe and Sound, and how that helped her find her own voice. As well, Amel performs Bossa Andale for us live from the studio and brought to you by The Orchard and Human Resources. This is not a podcast. This is not a radio show. This is Not 97. Enjoy. Amel Zeneb?
Yeah. Hi.
Welcome to Not 97.
Thank you for having me.
How you doing today?
I feel good. I feel blessed. Feeling grateful to be here, and I'm just excited for the future.
Yeah, I love that. Before we get into it, do you mind introducing yourself real quick and a little bit about where you're from and what you do?
Yeah, for sure. My name is Amel. I am from Jamaica, Queens. I am a singer, songwriter, and bassist. And yeah, my goal is to just expand in what I do. And I just love making music. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, starting from Jamaica, Queens, being from New York, being from Queens, how do you look at New York City and how do you feel like kind of New York City shaped you as an artist?
That's a good question. I mean, I would say I have a very unique background. So like my mom, she migrated from Jamaica when she was young. And then my father is from Egypt and migrated in his 30s. And so I'm like a first generation. That's a very, you know, interesting mix of culture. And so I think growing up in New York, like I think most New Yorkers have the pride of being built like tough and growing up really fast, like because you're around so many crazy things in the outside world. And so you're just exposed to everything. And I would say like, in comparison to other people from other cities that I've met, there's a difference in personality, but I would say like, I'm proud to be from here. I'm kind at heart, and anyone else that's from here can say the same thing, even though we may seem scary or intimidating. But also I feel like New York has changed. Like, I feel like it's not the same. It's not what it used to be, you know, gentrification as an obvious factor and a lot of transplants moving here. And, you know, I just feel like as I've grown up and gotten older, it's not what I expected it to be like as a child, like being an adult, you know, it's not like Sex in the City. it's different. And so, you know, I'm looking forward to like expanding my horizons and moving elsewhere just to, you know, see what the world has to offer. Yeah.
I think that's real. And I think that's also an important thing to kind of express as a native New Yorker, where I think a lot of people, it's like transplants could move here and be like, oh, it wasn't what I expected. But even as a native New Yorker, you being like, well, even as someone that grew up here, being an adult here may not be what I expected.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned being a first generation, I guess, New Yorker, first generation artist. How do you think that that kind of life experience has shaped who you are and the art that you make?
Well, I would say I'm very grateful that my parents are who they are and they have the taste that they have, because they were listening to the most random things like Gypsy Kings, George Michael. My mom loved all of like the white British male artists, Boy George. And then my father listening to like Umm Kulthum, like a lot of Egyptian artists, listening to the Quran, you know, and like whatever American music he was exposed to. So I feel like I just got a nice mix of all the things and even the greats like Michael Jackson, Mariah Carey. And I'm proud of my eclectic music taste for sure, because like now I just do a lot of deep dives and I play music around my siblings. They're like, yo, what is this? Like, send it to me.
So yeah.
I'm like the family's like crate digger.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you know what your first memories of kind of creating your own music were?
Yeah, it actually started off as poetry. I was in spoken word at church as like a teen, and I'm the type of artist where I write whatever words that come to me before I'm even presented with the melody, like just, you know, writing what's on my mind and then applying that to whatever instrumentals I would find on YouTube or, you know, anything like that. And that was like my first experience. In terms of like first experience in a studio, that was 2017. I went to a studio in New Jersey. I think it was like where Frank Ocean and SZA and them would record, which I thought was like pretty fire.
Flex.
and I was just like, wow, like there's no windows in this room. Like almost like almost like this. And I was there until like 6 a.m, like just working on this one song. And I'm like, yo, like this is where I'm supposed to be. Like I feel good doing this and I could do this all the time. So
was that the moment that you kind of like decided like this is, I'm pursuing this?
Yeah. Like hearing myself back like on a nicely mixed track, I was like, yeah, like that's like a nice dopamine.
Yeah.
And serotonin hit. Like
so that's 2017. So that's like 7 years ago.
Yeah. We're getting old.
But like looking back at that and maybe like that song or the writing that you were doing then to, you know, you released an EP last year. I know you have music on the way. How do you feel like your kind of songwriting and approach to music has evolved over those 7 years?
That's a really good question. Specifically, let me reference my last EP. My very first session with Nate was when I wrote August 10th, and that was like the last song on the project. I think it was featured on the Not 97 playlist. But I actually pulled up on him, and you know, he didn't really know me, but I was going through like a wave of emotions because I just like came from meeting up with someone that I really liked. And they weren't from New York. I didn't know when I would see them again. And I was just like feeling all the feels. I'm a big simp. So when I got to his place, I'm like, I know you don't know me, but like, I'm just feeling all of these things right now. Like, can we get in the booth real quick? And he started like messing around on the guitar. And then our homie Maya pulled up, Maya Blaney, shout out to her. And, you know, just started scribbling all the things that I was feeling, and it didn't really make sense in terms of words, but just try to piece it together as much as I could and like made the song like that. Like I would say I've changed when it comes to like the amount of raw emotion that I put. So instead of it being like super superficial and just singing about anything, like I'm actually being intentional with applying like my unique experiences emotionally to what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like vulnerability is easier.
Yeah. It's easier, but it's not.
You know, mentioning like you're talking about the EP Safe and Sound with Nate Bahar, obvious, like full collaborative project. And I'm wondering for you, I guess you're speaking about it a little bit, but going even deeper into what that collaborative process is like for you and kind of what you gained from kind of like, you know, making your own music in the past, but then having a project where you're working one-on-one with someone and creating a whole body of work together. What you gained from like that collaborative process?
I gained a friend, a brother. I gained a lot of knowledge when it comes to just free flow in my creativity, not being so structured in it. And I also gained safety. Like I've had experiences in the past where I've worked with male producers where it wasn't with the best intentions or, you know, getting screwed over. And I know I have a lot of fellow femme artists that have been through similar things. And so with Nate, I finally experience, you know, being able to create and collaborate in a peaceful, judgment-free, safe zone.
Yeah.
And also tapping into the experimental aspect of like all R&B. Yeah, I hope that was like clear.
Nate is a peaceful dude.
Yeah.
So I get it. Do you think that changed the way you approach writing?
Yes. I would say, if anything, it changed my mindset of like, how do I put it? With writing, I would say I have to be more impactful with the words in such a short window. So like before, like just singing anything, and if I am singing about love, like that's kind of easier. But for example, for Burdens, like that's a very like, you know, motivational song to like literally release whatever is holding you back. And like you have to kind of tap into, okay, what does that mean? Like, what does that look like? Literally trying to research things and reference artists. Yeah. Like we reference like Brenda Russell for that, because it was very 80s, like synthy, very fun, but also like spiritual in a way.
Yeah.
So I guess, yeah, changing intentionality and, you know, being very specific in what I'm saying. Yeah.
Kind of speaking of the sound of that project, and I think one thing that I really appreciate from your music, from Safe and Sound, is like kind of the intimacy of it, and even just kind of like with arrangements that like feel live, or you can hear like the sounds of the guitar and things like that being incorporated there, make it feel like you're in a live environment almost.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm wondering what, like, kind of how you got to that sound and what the vision behind that is.
So we recorded it on a SM57, which is like a drum mic, like an acoustic mic, and it picks up everything in the room to where like even the texture of the vocals are like airy and it's like you're right next to us. And then just with Nate's production, he's fire, but he somehow, some way, the way that he goes about stacking everything, it's just very ambient, and it does have like that textured acoustic live feel. And then also shout out to Andrew Kim, who mixed the project. Like, he just like, I guess, emphasized like what we were going for in our references, to where he kept the integrity of how it sounded without it being too, you know, auto-tuney and like super crisp and clean. Yeah. Like, he found the beauty in the imperfection, like in the live feel. So yeah, it was just a combination of just how we are, how we sound, and then, you know, finding the right person to make us sound better, like in the mix, in the final product.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That project, obviously like an introduction for a wider audience to who you are as an artist. New music coming out this year, I think, is also like, you know, coming off the heels of Safe and Sound, like the next phase of your music and reaching a wider audience. Do you think about what, like, when you're trying to reach a wider audience, what ultimately what message you're trying to spread to them, and what you want your audience to take away from your music?
Oh, I really just want them to genuinely feel something. Like, I think for me, when I'm listening to music, new music these days, like, I have ADD too, so it like it's very easy for me to like be like, this is something I heard before. But I want them to genuinely like feel what I'm feeling, but also like get exposed to the uniqueness that I bring.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I'm very happy being indie, because I could do anything that I want. And so with the new music dropping, yeah, like I'm just so excited. Like, people will get a taste of that. And yeah, like I'm very excited to see how I will grow. And I'm excited to see, you know, what fans I do gain like along this journey, because I know like it's only up from here. And I know like if this is me now and it's great, like I could only imagine like 5 years from now.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. What's on the 5-year vision board?
Ooh, 5 years from now, touring the world, meeting more of my favorite artists and collaborating with them, writing for more artists, and getting deep in my production bag. Like, I also want to like be able to drop multiple projects that I produced myself, like vocals, bass, synth, whatever. Like I want to get to that point, and it's right around the corner, but at least on the level that I'm envisioning. Yeah. Like I want to bring that to the table.
We'll sure. We'll clip it up and come back to this in 5 years and see what we can check off. Also, I want to ask, I mean, you know, introduce yourself as an artist, as a bassist. And I wonder, as a bassist, how do you think like having a background in bass kind of informs the work that you create?
So plot twist, I picked up bass last April.
Mm.
So my homie Evan goes by 13th mm-hmm. Law, and my homie Dandy were actually like my very first bass instructors. And so I had the goal of performing at Babies last July, playing bass to my own music. So between April and July, I accomplished like being able to do that. And so since then, I've been able to lay bass on songs that will be coming out and just, you know, learn songs that I enjoy, continuing learning my own work. But yeah, like I'm actually pretty green with it, but I'm impressed at my own growth and like the fact that I'm able to perform and session playing it. So
I love that.
Yeah.
No, we all should be learning new skills.
Yeah. Like who would have thought, like I'm 26, like it's pretty late in life to pick up an instrument. But honestly, is it? Like
yeah, we got time. We got time. So while you are here, we would love for you to perform a song for us. If you can, before we set the room up for that, can you just introduce the song that you will play and a little bit of background of where that song comes from?
Yeah, for sure. So today I will perform Bossa Andale, and it was the first single that I dropped last year, and I got my homie Matt McGee to rap on it. But I'll be rapping his part. And then my bro Zane Durham produced the song for me. So yeah, it's a very smooth song. It's very sensual. And yeah, I hope people enjoy.
Yeah. Let's get into it.
Word.
Thank you for being here.
Hi, I'm Amel Zeneb, and this is Bossa Andale for Not 97. Shout out to Matt McGee. Yo, baby, I know it's been a minute. I just touched down, so let's touch now. Need you in this position, that position. Did I forget to mention that you fit the description of everything that I need? So let me see, give it to you strong. My bad, I made you wait for weeks. In a dream, baby, this is real. Everything you feel is just for you. And your sex appeal just makes me wanna spill my all to you. Across that table, there's an awesome view. So let me get the bill so we could peel out. You need a couple of both of your heels by my ear. You know, Valentine's Day is coming, and this is for the sneaky links, to where you got liquor in your system, you get a little courage, and you pick up the phone, and it's like, yo, time is a ticking, and I haven't shit in, so tell me where you at, so I could put this thing on. Thank you, Not 97. Thank you, Matt. So happy to be here. And yeah, catch you on the flip.